You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I'm talking about straining for that logo on the side of your helmet and not the name on your back.
Yes, sir.
Because we know what it represents. It represents everybody here you see and everybody you can't that we've talked about. I'm here to strain with you, men. I swear to God I'm here to strain with you. Let's go. Everything you got, strain with everything you got.
Let's go.
Let's go. Bills on three. One, two, three.
Bills.
You're listening to the Off Tackle with John Fita Show with your host, Joe Miller.
Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome into the Off Tackle with John Fita Show, brought to you by Q42 on the Rumblings, there it is, Vidcast, Multicast, and Podcast Network. And I'm going to say this after I introduce myself. I'm here with John. My name is Joe Miller, and I am the host of the show, the Off Tackle Show. The Buffalo Bills could have used some of that Kyle Williams energy yesterday on that defensive line, in my opinion. I don't, man, I'm hurting, John. As you're pouring a slow beer, I'm hurting, bro.
You know what? This isn't a beer this time. It's just, it's like a gin thing called the long drink to go with the long night and the long day that we all had.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, my I don't know. What'd you say? What?
I said the Buffalo Bills, the defense could have used some of Kyle Williams' energy. Kyle Williams just had a different motor. Had a different gear about him. There was just I remember, you know, and this was completely unscripted, us talking about Kyle Williams. I remember when he was drafted, John McCarger was drafted either in the first round late or in the second round. He was supposed to be the big stud defensive tackle, heir apparent guy. Kyle Williams was taken in the fifth, just kind of some dude we took a flyer on. And Kyle Williams just, from the time that he got here, just played at a different level. He just played like every play was his last play ever.
And I think all right, defense... I want to address that because just because it didn't turn out with, you know, free defensive tackles and Patrick Mahomes on the ground. I mean, they all play, especially in that game, with their greatest effort. Just sometimes it just isn't enough. I mean,
yeah.
And and I've been saying this for a while now, for anybody who's dared to join us on this podcast, is, you know, that we don't have enough like sudden special things, you know, and enough break free moments. We could have used a couple of those last night on defense. Look, you know, I mean, we'll go through it all, right? But the first thing I want to say is for my man at Q42.
Yeah.
Like all of us in Grills Mafia, Q42 is having a tough time right now. They don't want to mention the names of their sauces, so instead of an ad, Q42 is giving a humble and strong shout-out to everybody who grilled, smoked, and cooked this weekend, and I'll say all previous weekends,
yeah,
and to everyone who just showed up to eat and drink, too. It was a championship-caliber tailgate season and day yesterday, and watch party all over Western New York and the country, because nobody circles the wagons, the grills, the smokers, or coolers full of beer like the fans of the Buffalo Bills. And you know what, Iman? That was beautifully put. He writes copy, and it's brilliant. He's twice as good as me when he's asleep.
That's funny. So you were going to talk about you were going to expound upon just my you. It's hard. Daryl Talley was that guy for you. You say that. But you guys had that engine, especially on defense. You had that engine. You had that guy that no matter what the stakes were, no matter what the score was, he was not going to quit. He was just not going to quit. And I'm not saying that they quit. They definitely didn't quit. It just.
Well, I also think like we came with four guys all night, right? I mean, we didn't have a lot of games, didn't have a lot of twists. I mean, you know, I was thinking about it today for the 9 millionth time, like everybody out there.
Right.
And I, Patrick Mahomes is covered in grease. Josh Allen is covered in muscle, right?
For sure.
I think in the top three, if not two best quarterbacks in this league.
Yeah.
And I'll be G-damned how we didn't corral him on a couple of those instances. He's slicker than snot on a doorknob, and I cannot stand it. And our guys battled. We just needed a big play here or there, and we didn't get it. We didn't get it out of the defense. We had a couple of really poor play calls on, I think, two of them in the second quarter and one of them in the third quarter. I was just aghast. Some of the play selection just was not for me, as I like to say.
Before we get into just the normal rundown.
I'm rolling here, Joe. I'm sorry.
You're good. You're good. You're great. I love it. I'm in my feelings today. And for me, that's not great and it's not normal. So as an INTJ, Myers-Briggs, Enneagram 8, I'm very disconnected from my feelings. I compartmentalize real well.
Just bring up the Myers-Briggs?
I did. And indeed. So for me to be in my feelings all day long, like even Beth was like, are you okay? And I'm like, no. I don't think I am. And it primarily comes from standing in that stadium with my daughter next to me, making just some incredible memories with my child and going through a game where, I'll be honest with you, I didn't have an expectation of winning. I didn't come into that game like, we got this. Like, we're going to.
I agree.
Tell me
about it, though. How was the atmosphere? How are the Chiefs fans? Were they
good? I'll get there. And Josh Allen walking off that field a winner twice. Right. So the beautiful thing, and I'm going to get ahead of myself, when they got the ball back at 7 minutes, 6.5 minutes, whatever it was in the fourth quarter, all they needed was one touchdown. The Chiefs just kicked a field goal. All they needed was one touchdown to win the football game. I was like, they're about to just drag this thing out to the end, score a touchdown and walk off the field winners. Literally, that's what I thought was going to happen. And in a roundabout way, it did. That's literally what happened. Anyways, the feelings part. So for me, I just feel like my soul was snatched from me. So yeah. It's just, and I felt this way during the Music City Miracle. And this morning when we were sitting at the airport, I tweeted about it. That's when it hit me that I was like, I felt this feeling before. What is it? And it literally was wide right. I remember Scott Norwood. I remember sitting on my best friend's couch. He was a Giants fan. We were in Florida when I was in high school. Scott Norwood's walking on a field. I'm like, this game's over. We just won this. We're Super Bowl champions. Like, and then it just doesn't happen. Like, now this is different, but it just got snatched. It's tough. But the day overall, to get back to that point, do you want to respond to that before I talk about my day?
Yeah, I couldn't help myself. The first touchdown, I said, yeah, there's 2 minutes on the clock. It's not over, right?
Sure.
I mean, I like, forget it. We have to score again in my mind. And so I sat still on the couch. Well, my family was going crazy and friend had a buddy over and then they scored within a minute, obviously. And then I thought, okay, I have confidence. We can go down and score again. And when Josh threw that ball to Gabe Davis with 13 seconds on the clock, I leaped out of my seat.
Nice, nice.
I had arugula and beets and pecans coming out of my nose. I
10, was 10, John's a leaping.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm with you, man. I mean, it was I couldn't. And you know, here's the deal: when it went to overtime and they won the coin toss, you know what I did?
What?
I went to the kitchen and started washing the pots and pans.
Yep. So So I'll get to the game day experience. This is where I'm just going to expound upon that a little more. I'll hit that super chat and then I'll start from the day.
Yeah, do that.
The weekend. So I'm standing next to this Chiefs fan next to me. Was awesome. He was a good dude. Like McKenna even said, he reminds me of you. Just kind of the way that he was processing the game and kind of talking to me and talking to people around him. So we're going back and forth, like having conversation about good plays, bad plays, good things going on. And, oh, that was a penalty. That wasn't a penalty. Why didn't they call that? Why did they call that? So it gets down to Josh Allen scoring. And I said out loud, we left way too much time. Minute 54, way too much time on the clock. And he's like, oh, absolutely. And I was like, I'm nervous right now. He goes, well, we'll see. You know, the Chiefs haven't been great this year in this situation. I've seen him run around and throw the game away. Sure enough, they go down the field and score. And he looks at me with 102 left. He goes, now I'm nervous. And I was like, you should be. Like, literally, I was like, I responded with, you should be. This is where the Bills do the same thing. And then the Bills score, 13 seconds left, and people are leaving. So I like to sit in the upper deck, not like row 39. I like to sit row 1, 2, 3 of the upper deck, preferably row 1, because I can see the whole field. I don't like being in the lower bowl. I find myself in the lower bowl looking at the screens a lot. And for me, if I'm looking at the screen, I'd rather be home on the couch. So put me up high. So get me up over top of everything. And we were. But it, like, with 13 seconds left, the Bills just scored. That stadium was deflated and people were leaving. Not streaming out of the stadium, but people were leaving the stadium. And I said to the dude, I was like, people are leaving. There's 13 seconds left. Like, have they not been around?
Like 5 minutes. Like, right. With these two guys, 13 seconds is right. Is damn long enough.
Right. And sure enough, you know, this is where the questions that I have come from. And it's not so much effort questions as much as it's, and we'll talk about it, scheme, coaching questions and things like that. We don't have to talk about it now. But and then sure enough, that happened. And, you know, McKenna's standing next to me crying. And it's like, baby, that was a great game. I was like, hey, the Bills won. That's the greatest game I've ever watched. But, honey, we came out here.
The second greatest game you've ever seen. We still know what the first one is because that will never be number one, even though it was legend.
So,
hey, we never did discuss, what's our profanity policy on this show?
Well, there's podcasts that are explicit. They have to have an explicit marker on Buffalo Rumblings. We can, but if you want to swear, you can. Just be careful.
Be careful. I'm gonna hit
Brooke's super chat real quick. By the way, Everybody, we are live. We are super chat ready and live. If you're watching us live currently,
jump. We'd love to hear from you because I can't keep a thought process, Brooke. And you're convinced that the sports gods hate us? This just hurts, really hurts. I'm here to tell you, Brooke, there are no sports gods, okay? There just aren't. But it makes us feel better sometimes. Yeah. Buffalo against the world. I have my feelings about it.
I do want to say that Brooke did her 11th. She did her 111th. She tweeted me yesterday and said,
I don't know what does that mean? What is 111? I hear this expression and then I hear that stand. John,
how many players are on a football team at any given time on the field?
11th. There's 11 team
there's
players.
11, there's 11 guys. So everybody's, it's the Bill Belichick. Everybody does their job. You do your 111th, we'll come out on top. So as fans, we do our 111th. So she tweeted.
Cool lingo.
She tweeted me yesterday and said, I didn't watch the game. So I don't know what happened. I was pacing it. I was super. And I was like, Brooke, you should have watched the football. As much as we not make fun of her, but we have fun at her expense here about not watching the game because they've been winning without her watching. She should have watched it. So, Brooke, thank you for not watching, but I prefer you would. Maybe, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe you don't prefer.
If you had watched, we would have won, Brooke. Right. It's all on you. For the person that asked me if I wore the same clothes, all the way down to the socks and chonies for the past 5 games, they stood up on their own.
The turnstable. What's amazing, John, is how much of not a fan. You've been a fan of football. How much of a fanatic for the Bills you have become? Like you have been sucked in big time.
I hate all of you Bills mafiosos. These go down really smooth.
There was a time when John would watch a football and just analytically watch it. Now he's like emotionally invested in Buffalo Bills football, which is crazy. So, all right. So you want to get to my day?
Today or yesterday?
No, yesterday. My weekend with my daughter. So,
yeah, I think that is probably more fulfilling than us talking about the final 13 seconds.
But. Well, I'll get through it as quick as we're going to talk about the good, the bad, the ugly. We're going to talk about all of it. So. The Bills win the playoff game against the New England Patriots. And immediately, as every Bills Mafia member does, it's like, oh, can I make it to that game? And sure enough, it was no. And then I've got a couple friends that are texting me going, I just got tickets. You coming with me? And I'm like, probably not. It's a lot of money. It's a long drive. I don't have $600 for a ticket type stuff. And then I get a text from a player that's a friend. And he's like, I got 2 tickets. Do you want to go? And I'm like, yeah, let me find out. Like, don't give them away to anybody else. And I've talked about this player before. I don't want to name drop. So those of you that are familiar with my shows, you've heard me talk about my connection to a couple of the guys. Sure enough, it works out. I've got enough points for one flight. I've got hotel points for free hotel rooms. So all I got to pay for is McKenna's flight. So I talked to Beth. I'm like, hey, can I take McKenna to this football game? I just got two free tickets. And she's like, absolutely. That'd be amazing. Girl, you know, daddy, daughter date, go do it. Make memories. So we work it out. So we get, I think it was Friday. We're flying out Friday. And then I get another message from the same player. I've got, like, he says, I think I can get my hand on a set of field passes. And I'm like, excuse me. And sure enough, he gets me. So we're working.
You're on the field for warmups?
It was Saturday, not Friday, but Saturday. Yes. So we're talking, and then Sunday morning, it's like, hey, where are you going to be? How do I get these? He's like, you're going to have to come to the hotel and pick them up because we have a walkthrough, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, just let me know when and where. So we selected the time. We're in the Uber on the way down. This is before the tailgate. In the Uber on the way down. And then I'm like, hey, we're en route. He goes, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, for whatever reason, plans changed. We're now at a restaurant. I'm here with some of the guys. We're having breakfast. See if the Uber driver will detour you down here. So we detoured down there, and we walk in. Me and McKenna walk in, and the Uber driver stayed to take us over to the stadium. And like Isaiah McKenzie sitting there, and I'm like, "What's up, bro?" So that was cool. Sure enough,
you didn't say that. I hope.
No, I did introduce myself and I introduced McKenna, but it was kind of neat. It's just the room is this breakfast place is a hopping joint. It's basically if you're in Buffalo, poke yolk in Buffalo is what this place was. And there's Kansas City Chiefs everywhere, like fans, Kansas City fans. And I'm thinking to myself, they have no idea that there's two, three Bills players in this restaurant right now having breakfast with them. They don't even know, which is crazy to me. So we get the field passes, and like, we're just geeking out at this point. Like, we're going to get to be, I've never been on the field. I don't even know what that means. Like, you see those people down there on the field for like warmups and stuff. Then we go to the tailgate, which was cool. And we were there with Anthony from Poncho's Army. We were there with Krista Kimmick was there. There's a whole bunch of people. Just LaShawn was there. LaShawn Jermaine Warlock on Twitter.
Warlock.
All the usual guys. The Bills Mafia tailgates are always off the hook. Is food and obviously, you know, drinks and just a good time. And McKenna's like, why aren't people jumping through tables? And I was like, well, not everybody jumps through tables. And then sure enough, people started jumping through tables off of vans and buses, like jumping off of vans and buses through tables. And McKenna's like, they're crazy. I'm like, yes, they are. Yeah, so we had a really good time at the tailgate, just making memories. And it was different for her. She'd never done it before. She didn't understand why. Like, why is everybody just hanging out here? I'm like, we're socializing. We're just getting ready for the game, having fun, kind of connecting, which was cool. So shout out to everybody that I got the tailgate with. Love every single one of you guys and all the new Mafia members that I met that have basically followed on Twitter forever. We head out. So we got to walk down to the stadium because 4:10 is when we're supposed to be there. And we get down on the field. And, bro, a couple things. You guys are enormous in those pads and uniforms. I am not. You've met me. And some other people too. So there's another content creator that met me for the first time at the Bills homecoming, and he tweeted out, Joe Miller is close to being the size of an NFL linebacker. I'm not. I'm 6 feet tall, a little over 6 feet tall, but I'm 220 pounds, and I'm thin. I'm not fat. I'm a big, decent sized guy. And like they come out, bro, and like the we're right there on the Mitch Morse is there, Josh Allen. They got the running backs. They're running the dual tandem, like running backs. You know, quarterback snap. Hands it off to running back, and they're running by us. Zach Moss, who I've met, like these guys are running by, and like it's 100 over 100. Like they're warming up, and it's like all go. Like it's crazy. Stephon Diggs is running around throwing the football, like just pure joy on the man's face. And I've watched it from the stands, but like to be there where he's 5 feet away from me, just throwing the football to little kids, throwing it to like camera people and reporters, and they're dropping the ball, and he's like, "What are you doing? You're supposed to get like." The whole experience, and McKenna she's just in another world. Josh Allen's right there. Everybody, Eric Wood walks up, fist bump. Eric Wood, a fist bump, you know, Sal Capaccio. You know, Brittany Williams walks in. Josh Allen's family's down on the sideline with us. The whole experience, I cannot begin to explain to you
how exhilarating. Like every nerve ending is firing at the moment. And it's like eye candy. You're looking everywhere.
Right. But the energy, like the energy that even because when you stand up, when you sit up, and I know you probably have it, you've probably done it for Bruno. You've sat in the stands for warmups. The energy doesn't feel the same. When you're in the stands, wherever you are, 30 rows up, and you're watching the warmups, it's not the same as when you're 5 feet from people. Like the energy is totally different. It was very cool. And then obviously Tyreek Hill is unbelievably built. Like the man is 5'10", 5'11", and built like a brick house. Like it's unbelievable how I think his thighs are as wide as my waist. It's unbelievable how dense he is as a human. And then we get ushered off. You know, we're down there for an hour and we get ushered off. We make it up to our seats. And then the game starts. And obviously the Chiefs fans are fantastic. I've been to Bills Chiefs games in Kansas City before. People on here have heard me talk about it. They're like the Bills. And I basically tell people this, if you go to a Bills game or if you go to a Colts game, it's a lot of more pretentious, richy people. It's an experience more so than this college type fandom. Like we have fanatical fandom in Indianapolis, first and second down when the Bills offense is on the field, it's kind of quiet. And then third down, they get loud because that's what you're supposed to do. In Buffalo, first down, when the opposing team's offense is on the field, first down, like they come out of the huddle, gets really loud. And as soon as the ball is snapped, whoosh, it's quiet. Second down, same thing. And then third down, it's just louder. In Kansas City, it's just loud. As soon as the play clock starts, they're just loud. And they're loud in the same tone. And I'm a musician. So for me, that was impressive. Like it's one monotone noise. 70,000 of them. It's incredible.
Well, they've got a consulting firm that, you know, they come out and they train the fans. They come in waves by section and work the pitch. No, you're too low. Bring it up. And then some of the altos they bring down a little bit.
The national anthem and the home of the Chiefs. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
The first down, Chiefs. Like, all that stuff is really, really cool. Like, just a fan. It's just a great fan base. They were all nice. They were scared crapless at times, which was funny. It was the experience itself was amazing. I don't want to talk about the game because we're going to talk about the game. But it was we are wonderfully blessed to have had the opportunity to go to be on the field. The time that I got to spend with McKenna and like the memories that we got to make is something she's never going to forget. And I'm never going to forget. Obviously we wish. So now I'm coming out of my feelings. I'm actually happy now talking about it this way. So
that's a memory you'll share forever.
Yeah, for sure.
And it won't be about the result of the game. It'll be about the experience.
That one time. So we got a couple super chats. Go ahead. Read that one.
Hey, G. Seals, thank you very much for joining in on the Super Chat. If Leslie Frazier gets hired away, Wink Martindale.
Are you familiar with Wink?
Does that mean we're hiring a game show host?
So Wink Martindale is the former defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. They just agreed to part ways. He didn't get fired. Yep. He's a 3-4 guy traditionally. I don't know much about Wink. I know that he's a great defensive coordinator. He's a great defensive mind. The question is he wholly sold out to the 3-4 like Rex was? Rex was 3-4, 3-4, 3-4 only. Jim Schwartz, 4-3, 4-3 only. Or is he a guy that can kind of dabble between them depending on what his personnel is? I would prefer to not see a 3-4 guy come in here at all.
It's not a 3-4 anymore, right? It's a 3-3, right? So it's 3-3-5.
Yeah, 3-3-3 hybrid type of a thing, which is great. This is my guy, Matt Gould. So Matt Gould and I go way back. Matt is a cameraman, actually.
Well, just going back to what you said before, I mean, you have to have a guy who can walk up and play on the line. And then, you know, one of the guys that's lined up on the tackle, he's got to be comfortable playing on the inside shade.
Right.
And then, you know, I love our guys up front, but I don't think Starr is the guy, and I don't think Phillips is the guy for playing a zero. That's a monster position to play. So maybe I'm wrong. I know I certainly don't think it's Starr. Maybe Phillips.
Yeah, my guess is getting just to wrap that thought up, and I jump to Matt a little bit. Matt super chat a little quick. They're probably going to make sure they get a 4-3 guy because I think McDermott is a 4-3 guy, and obviously our personnel is all 4-3, and they're not going to overhaul that defense.
Agreed.
So Matt Gould is a really good friend of mine, goes way back, and he actually he's a cameraman for the Buffalo Bills all the time. He's been at the Olympics, so Buffalo Sabres. Matt's an awesome dude, good friend. But he says, I've been lucky enough to have my kids around for some of the sporting events I've worked at. That's a memory you've made for a lifetime. Nicely done. So yeah, it was a special moment and a special time. And it was
I know exactly what you mean. You know, having Bruno there when he was a freshman. You know, we weren't on the field. We were on the field pregame for a minute or two, but better than that, we were at the Saturday walkthrough practice, standing around with all the offensive linemen, and just that feeling, you know, came back to me, and I know he was just shuddering in awe.
Yeah. Yeah, she had a smile that you could not wipe off her face. I mean, it was just whether it was Steph Diggs standing there or Josh Allen being, you know, 15, 20 feet away or his parents being right there.
I want everybody to know. I mean, I think you know, and maybe not every player's like this, but even as a retired player, I remember the moment when I met LaDainian Tomlinson.
Nice.
And I was like, I am shaking your hand. Oh my God, I am such a huge fan. And I, you know, I try to be a fan of people first, players second, and he just always struck me as such a class act. And
yeah,
you know, you admire players for different reasons, but you know, it's a great feeling.
Yeah,
it is a great feeling. And you know, and I think by and large, you know, I spent a lot of time living in the city of Buffalo and spent a lot of time in and out of the restaurants, not the bars, but the banks and, you know, laundries and stuff like that. And people were incredibly wonderful, appreciative, kind, respectful. And, you know, those are always the best engagements. They can cheer in the stands, but the fan that approaches you and just says, God, you know, I'm just such a big fan of you guys. You know, we root for you like crazy. It means so much.
Yeah. It escapes us as fans at times. And it's overwhelming when we realize that you're just normal people too. So I used to work at the Tops at McKinley. So 1993 and 94, and I think 95, I worked at the Tops at McKinley. So I'm there early, and Marv would come in almost every day. And I was in produce one day, and he walks up to me. He's like, excuse me. And I'm like, yes. He goes, do you have any blueberries? And I'm like, Marv Levy's asking me for blueberries.
You better deliver too.
Where would you rather be than right
Act
here?
Like a pro. Where right would you rather now. Be in produce or soup?
Hysterical. Bruce Smith walked in one time. The dude's butt was like up to my chest. Like he had the longest legs I've ever seen.
I tell you, man, like when people ask me about the playing days, I always say to them, I say, you can't wrap your brain around it. Not only do they do we, and you know, formerly used to do things with our bodies that is just incomprehensible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But just freaks, all of us just freaks.
Yep. Yep.
Just the muscle, the, you know, just the appearance of it all. Even the little guys like McKenzie, you know, I mean, you're just, it's astounding.
By the way, I just noticed whatever you got to do, I better get one of those shirts. How do I get that shirt? Let's talk about that shirt you're wearing.
Yeah, it was so cool. Mark, man, I'm so bad with names. Mark gave it to me, made him up. He made some for my family too. They're in the mail. I'm just like over the moon. How cool is that, right?
That shirt is bad. Sing. A. That shirt is bad. A. Yeah, I want that shirt.
I'll ping him for you on the old.
For those of you that are listening and not watching, Josh is wearing a black John Fina shirt. It's JF70.
It's John, not Josh. I don't know what Josh is.
I didn't say Josh. Did I say Josh? I said John Fina.
It sounded like Josh.
If I did, I apologize. John Fina. It should be John Fina. 70 with the swoosh or the Bills, the Bills swoosh. I want that shirt really bad. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, hit him up. It's Bills Mafia 617, Mark of Poncho's Army. Mark, if you're listening, charge Joe triple.
Oh, wait, I got to wrap up my story. So we're at the airport. So McKenna gets a kick out of every time we're someplace and somebody recognizes me as Joe Miller podcast guy. It's happened a couple times, including a Bills practice. This kid came up and I was sitting there with Pat Moran. I was sitting there with Zach Sheldon from Trainwreck Sports. I can't remember who else. A couple other people were sitting there. We were just watching practice. And this kid walks up, 14 years old. He goes, are you Joe Miller? And I was like, yeah. He goes, love your work. And walked away.
Nah, I love your work.
Just walked away. So we're sitting at the diner in Baltimore today. Sitting at the diner in Baltimore. There's a diner inside the Baltimore airport. And I'm on the phone. I'm on the, like, I'm on a work call. Like, I'm working because it's Monday. And I'm on my laptop and working. She's eating breakfast. And I hear... Like, and I look and like there's a glass window here that's to the concourse, and there's a dude standing out there holding my Twitter up, and he points at his phone. And he goes, "Is that you?" And I'm like, "Yes." And he goes, "Can I come in and talk to you?" And I'm like, "Yes." So he comes
tease yourself for being a ginger, but that's like a recognizable thing, right? I
mean, except all of us,
they always find me by the nose. Like if the guy's appendage is like 3 feet from his eyeballs, it's John Fina.
The problem
Holy
is,
cow, it's the nose. I mean, it's Fina.
It's all Irish people look alike, though. That's the problem. So I was like, hey, yeah, luck of the draw. So he came in. It was Mafia Mike, which I've actually been friends with on Twitter, and we've interacted a ton of times. So it was really, really cool to meet him. Another super chat from Pamela. Pamela, thanks for being a part of the show. Looks like Dable will be gone, and a high possibility Frazier will be too. What does that mean for us? So that's
you first.
Okay, so this is where I'm at on all this. So in my opinion, in my guesstimation, I have a pretty good inkling that Brian Dable is probably going to the Giants, right? Obviously, Joe Shane just got hired there. It was rumored last week when Joe Shane was interviewing that they want a package deal. They want Joe Shane and Brian Dable. So they're looking to do basically the McDermott, Brandon Bean thing, only on the junior level, and then have those guys grow into, you know, McBean. So I have more than likely believe that he's gone. Josh Allen today talked about in his press conference that if that happens, because he was asked, that he would like to see somebody from the staff promoted. So he's talking about Ken Dorsey, that he would love to see Ken Dorsey become that guy as far as the offensive coordinator. What his credentials are, what his ability to be an offensive coordinator, your guess, everybody's guess, is as good as ours. We have no idea. We know that he's been in that room with Josh since the beginning, so they're connected, and there's obviously a lot of trust. Josh, trust, but you can probably speak to, before we get to Frazier, there's a moment in good quarterbacks' lives, and Josh Allen is elite, top one, top two, top three, right? He's elite in this league. There's a moment, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, where the offense becomes theirs. Josh has got to be approaching that time, right? Where
I'm glad you didn't say he was there, because I wouldn't agree with that at all. You know, just so young, hasn't seen and lived and played enough football yet to be at that point. But it's the type of person that he is, that he's tracking toward that.
Right.
And I would definitely say that. And look, I could be wrong. Maybe he's the guy already. Maybe he's studying 6 hours of film a day out, you know, in the off season. I know he's getting work in the off season.
Yeah, but
I know what's the quarterback at the Giants, Danny O'Brien. Who's that? What's his name?
The quarterback is Zach Wilson.
The Giants.
Oh, the Giants. Daniel Jones. My bad.
Yeah. Oh, Danny Jones. Yeah.
Yeah, Daniel Jones.
I think Josh's coach over in California is going to get a new client. I mean, if Dable goes over there, look, here's my feeling. Like, oh, we don't know anything about Dorsey. I'll get it right when he gets the job. Okay, I swear to God. Until then, he's Dempsey. I'm sorry. So, no disrespect. Eventually, somebody has to go from being a quarterback's coach, assistant, offensive coordinator, you know, to the next level. Coaches, it all goes up, right?
Right.
And that's going to be up to McDermott, I think, more than Bean. I think McDermott would have to sell that to Bean and then have the support of the surrounding remaining offensive coaches.
Right, right.
And certainly Josh, probably Stephon Diggs. But it whether it happens or not, I think, in my estimation, it would make more sense to me to maintain some continuity for Josh.
Right.
And I think if you're there coaching him for the past 4 years, you know, you see his abilities and you see inside the man a little bit more.
Yeah. So I just wonder how much does it provide Josh, to your point, that continuity? And what I was alluding to is how much, not control, how much ability is he going to have to say, Ken, we've done a lot of great things I like. Let's keep it as much as we can the same. Yeah. So, and then Frazier, there's a lot of conversation about Frazier. There's a lot of idiots on Twitter right now talking about letting McDermott go and he's never going to learn and blah, 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 which is the most ridiculous. Playoffs 4 to 5 years, 3 years in a row, AFC championship or AFC champion, AFC East champions twice, AFC championship game last year. You're not firing Sean McDermott. You're not firing Leslie Frazier either. So if Leslie Frazier stays and he doesn't get hired away, he stays, right? If he gets hired away, I have a little bit of, for me, and this comes into the game stuff, which we haven't even gotten to yet, which is fine. For me, I'm ready to see a little more aggressiveness out of this defense. I don't mean blitz crazy. So that's not what I'm talking about.
I think what you're saying is a little bit more creativity, bringing pressure.
There were times yesterday where they just should have done something different.
Yeah, right? We both say that. I mean, in the first half, I thought we put some pretty nice pressure on Mahomes. We just came up dry.
But that's the same thing that happened in the AFC Championship game last year.
I understand that, but I'm saying, you know, if you have the pressure on the guy, you know, you got to make the sack. You got to force the bad throw, the poor decision that gets tipped, that gets intercepted, and we just didn't get there. But adding another guy doesn't, you know, you don't always have addition by addition. Sometimes you get subtraction by addition. You know, he's slicker than snot. We decided right?
Yeah,
so you bring five and he still gets free. And, you know, we saw him flick a couple yesterday that were admirable.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, I don't want to go over the moon on the guy, but.
So, go ahead.
It could be twice as bad and three times as bad on Sunday. You know what I mean?
If it's wrong,
going back to Leslie, right?
Yes, Leslie, that's where we want to go. Yeah.
So look, if he gets hired away, of course you're going to do that. If you're Leslie Frazier, I mean, you're looking at $4 million a year as a head coach, or 3.2 versus, you know, 675 is whatever his salary is, but it's an appreciable difference, appreciable change in your whole, you know, future.
Yep.
And I'm not going to judge the man on the last 13 seconds of the game. Would I have coached it that way or lined up that way? No, but I have the benefit of, you know, being able to look back at it. In the moment, I didn't get it either, but I still don't judge his volume of work based on 13 seconds.
Will owners or general managers?
No, I don't think so. It'll come up in discussion. It'll come up, you know, hey, let's talk. You know, we like you. You got a great track record. You know, you did great things in Buffalo when you didn't always have the personnel. You know, what explain to me, I mean, you've been on a job interview, explain to me what happened here. Apparently we're not going to get a story on that out of the staff, right? Because they said we're not going to address it.
It also starts with special teams, because they messed up from jump as far as the kickoff goes, but we'll get to the thoughts of the game.
Believe that would have been the better play to squib it
or at least kick it so they have to return it. If you kick that ball to the 2 yard line, he's got to run to the point he gets tackled. Does it take 3 seconds, 4 seconds, right? Now, the fear is he returns it. That's the fear. So,
right, but you're balancing a known quantity against an unknown quantity.
Yeah, McDermott
said, through the end zone, I know they get it at the 25.
McDermott basically said there were some details there. I'm not going to get into it, basically. Mm-hmm. So my guess is I guess that if it was what he wanted, he would have said, no, that's exactly how we designed it. That's what we wanted to happen. Like I would take him in his word.
Well, hey, chips are going to fall over the following days and weeks for sure.
Yeah. So
whether by coaches leaving or coaches asked to be leaving.
Right. Triggs is it was a super chat. He says Dorsey for offensive coordinator, Chad Hall for assistant offensive coordinator. I would probably agree with that. That's probably what'll happen. And then my guess is to finish the Frazier talk, more than likely they'll find a 4-3 guy, whether it's a guy like Vic Fangio or somebody that they want that's up and coming that's going to mesh well with what McDermott wants, because McDermott is a 4-3 guy. But it's a little different. His defense is a little bit different than some of the other 4-3 guys that are out there. Thoughts on the game?
Well, you still need two pieces on the defense to fix it a little bit.
Yeah, but in regard, I'm just talking about from a coordinator standpoint. So let's we're heavy into the show already, and the good we can talk about for years, and the bad we can talk about for years. Real quick, just I've kind of given my thoughts on the game. What are your quick just thoughts on that football game? What you're expecting versus what happened?
Well, look, I mean, I picked the Bills a little heavier because I thought in the end, you know, we'd turn a small lead into a big lead, and but not in a cocky way, you know.
Right.
I always figured it would be close, and that was my expectation, to come out of there with a victory. I just felt like everything was kind of coming together a little bit. Tackling. Oh my God! Somebody counted and said we only missed like seven tackles, but as you watch the game, each missed tackle felt like five on its own. So it felt like 35 missed tackles.
Yeah, but I don't know that includes times when people whiffed. So there was one run by, was it Pringle, where he went out and then like split three defenders and just somehow sneaked by all three of them. And like Mario Addison basically stopped. He just stopped pursuing him and the dude ran right by him.
That was weird, right?
Yeah, and they gained. I think he scored. He scored on that play, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't feel like the game was too big for the team. So
nope, I agree with that.
Offense or defense, I don't feel like the game was too big for the team. I literally feel, and you can speak to this because you're a former player, I feel like defensively speaking, there was a plan. There was a scheme, and it just didn't work.
Well, it did work. It worked enough for a little while. They only had like three breakdowns. I mean, look,
42 points on defense. It did not work.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but we got some stops.
Doesn't include a missed field goal and a missed extra point.
Okay, fine. I mean, look, I've heard people saying, oh, well, no, you know, we didn't cover Tyreek Hill. I'm still waiting for somebody to cover the guy.
Well,
you know, if we take away three big plays, I think we're in a hell of a lot of different conversation.
If we want to talk about, so this comes back to the scheme thing, and this is actually in the notes just from stuff I wanted to ask you, just because you are the expert. When you look at Tyreek Hill's touchdown run that he had, or touchdown catch that he had, the 65-yard touchdown catch, they're playing a deep cover two shell. Tyreek Hill was – Levi Wallace was on Tyreek. I don't know. I know you chart the game and you watch it back. Levi Wallace is on Tyreek. He was not double covered. They left Levi Wallace one-on-one with a deep cover two shell, of which Micah Hyde shaded to another player. It was one-on-one. He hits the crosser, hits him in stride, gone. There's very much a, we are not going to let them beat us over the top, no matter what, even to the point of putting our corners on islands, Taron Johnson, Levi Wallace, Dane Jackson. We're going to put them on islands, and we're going to sit way back. And they did it all the way through 13 seconds left.
Yeah, look, I think that I would, I guess what I'm saying is I don't mind that strategy, but when the guy runs a shallow cross like that, first of all, I don't care who it is, you know, the guy from the Rams or Tredavious or Levi, you're just not going to stay in a foot race with Tariq Hill, but you got to be able to collapse down from the shell and make the tackle. So I don't put that on Levi Wallace. And I think you got to, I mean, you can't press the guy, two guys. I see you can roll coverage over the top. I just don't know. I mean, it looks that way so easily, but, you know, they do so much by down and distance, formation, dictating where everybody lines up. And the expectation is that if a guy catches a shallow cross, someone's going to tackle him at 14 to 16 yards. And that's an unfortunate, acceptable gain for a guy like him.
I agree.
And they didn't make the tackle.
And I was not putting that on Levi Wallace. So please.
No, I didn't think you were. I'm just saying that somebody has to be in that dog's ass position.
Yeah. The reality is if you're telling me Levi Wallace versus Tyreek Hill single covered, if you're telling me anybody but Jalen Ramsey single covered against Tyreek Hill, I'm taking Tyreek Hill every time. So this is definitely not on Levi Wallace necessarily. Even to the point of 13 seconds, even to the point of overtime, they were just playing. So the 13 seconds part, they're playing 35, 40 yards off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, that was baffling to me. That I didn't understand.
I mean, they needed 30-yard plays. That's all they needed, and they got them. Easy.
But the thing that killed me about that was, look, I'm okay with that defense if they have no times out.
Right, right.
But they had three times out.
Yeah.
You got to come up, and I don't – look, we got to Mahomes – but we couldn't bring him down with four guys.
Right.
So what was the point of bringing four guys? We could have brought two. We could have pressed at the line of scrimmage on their best guys and still ran the same shell.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have done that all day, and we could have had, you know, Addison or Edmund spying in the middle of the field. That's the part that baffles me. And in the very last play, which of the fourth quarter, I'm looking at how Levi's lined up, and I'm saying to myself, he is lining up to the letter of the definition of this defense, but the defensive call is wrong. That's what I'm thinking.
After they call the timeout,
there's no way that Levi Wallace should be lined up, you know, 8 yards outside. Was it Kelsey?
Yes.
And 14 yards off the ball. That made zero sense to me.
Zero sense.
I mean, line up on them. Look, they have the timeout. They don't care. They don't need the sideline.
Yeah, yeah.
Contest the catch.
Yes.
Cover. Maybe two guys get their hands up, you know, affect the throw.
How about just dragging Kelsey to the ground? Literally taking a 5-yard defensive holding penalty, and it bleeds 5 seconds off, 4 seconds, 5 seconds off the clock. Eric, I'm going to get to your point in a minute. I think by the third quarter, I was in the stands, 300 section, row two, 40-yard line, yelling, don't let him out of the pocket. What the Chiefs did so well was they kept Josh Allen in the pocket. The problem is Josh Allen still ate them alive from the pocket. The Bills were allowing him to escape. He was just getting – he's greasy. You said it. They were not keeping
him in the pocket. You say allowing him to escape.
Allows a tough word. They were forcing him out. So they were pressure. You either pressure him and bring him down or you don't, right? I mean,
well, and I think maybe that's why they didn't bring more pressure. Like I was saying to you earlier, if you bring more pressure and you don't get there, you're subtracted behind you.
Both of these quarterbacks it's a pick your poison. How do you want?
Well, so I was just about to say that. I mean, our guy was doing things to their guys that they're, you know, on their podcast going, thank God we got, thank God there's no more Josh Allen with the freaking horse muscles knocking out our DBs.
Right,
you know what I mean? Sure. On a run.
Or not even that, but throw. I mean, it was, You've got Patrick Mahomes who does that one play where he like shifts his arm angle and throws, you know, throws a 15 yard laser.
Josh did that too. I saw Josh do that too.
Did it as well, but they didn't talk about Josh doing it. Both of these guys, it's literally, how do you want to get beat? Do you want them to beat you this way or do you want them to beat you that way? Because you can't confuse them. You can't, if you move them off their spot, they're going to make plays. It's just, they're both just unbelievable quarterbacks. Eric Farrell with the super chat coming in. I apologize for taking so long to get to you, Eric. Much more than the kick, why didn't we put 11 in coverage? Why rush anyone with 13 seconds left? Put five. I guess that's a good question. I've never seen a formation where you drop all the defensive linemen back 4 yards, 5 yards off the line of scrimmage. I guess you can. It'd be weird, but you could. And literally to that point, flood that whole area, right? And then as soon as somebody catches the ball, you just tackle them.
Yeah, it would be wild. You know, that's the right. So you'd still have to chase Mahomes in space, but you wouldn't have to worry about it because he can't run the ball. Well, he could, but he wouldn't get 30.
At some point in time, it's going to be basketball, and the competition committee is going to have to do something because they're going to realize within 20, 30 seconds, if I just defensively hold, if they get the ball at the 20 yard line, and I commit defensive holding on every play but the last one, because the game can't end in a defensive penalty. If I commit defensive holding every play 10 times, 30 seconds gone.
No, I don't disagree with you, and I've argued that point forever. It's like, you know, if I were on press coverage on the 7 yard line, and I feel like I'm going to get beat, I'm tearing that guy down. If I'm leaping and getting ankles.
Right,
because the downside is 3 yards. So what?
Right. So you know? What? Versus 35.
And if you're in the middle of the field, my concern is they, you know, look, it's got to be a million different scenarios to have a package for this, right? So I mean, you got to be thinking. I got to think that they should have had a package. This didn't look like a package for anything. That's my concern. I was like, what? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're getting me all hyped up.
Well, yeah, you've already got me there. So let's talk about, we've already talked about a lot of the good already, which is Josh Allen. I thought Devin Singletary looked great early in this game.
The offensive line looked really good. Spencer got clubbed a couple times, but by and large, they looked really good.
They looked super good. And that was another thing, too, because we've talked about Ryan Rick Bates a lot on this show and all the shows. That's a big old boy, too. I was actually, the bench guys typically aren't the John Fina's, right? So in your day, you were the big guy. You were the left tackle. You know, House Ballard was the starter because he was enormous. Ryan Bates is a big boy. Like, I was surprised because he walked right by me. And I was like, that is a big old boy. Ryan Bates is a big guy. That offensive line played super duper well. I was very impressed.
Knox blocked really well. I mean, he had a drop, which he shouldn't have dropped. But
what's funny is really well. Gabriel Davis, the game that he had, you know, we all went in saying that Dawson Knox has to be a big part of this offense for like last time, week five, week six, whenever it was, for the Bills to come out on top. And Dawson kind of didn't. He was kind of quiet.
Yeah, you say that, you know, and neither of us really has access time and understanding the game plan. But,
right.
You know, Gabe Davis is a hot hand at the minute and at the moment. And sometimes your role is to suck coverage.
For sure. That's what Diggs was.
I mean, look at Stephon Diggs, right? He had five catches for 9 yards or something.
That was his role in that football game.
That was his role in that, and I think he was probably pretty happy with it up until they went in the locker room at the end.
And late on the last drive, as much as other people probably lost their minds because that's what Bills Mafia does, I love that Josh, he was covered, and Josh basically just flicked the ball out there to give him a chance. Josh was like, here you go. Here's the ball. Threw it 20 yards downfield, 25. And obviously, Stephon had to play defense because – he was being held and he was holding the guy at the same time. But I love that. Hey, you know what? Here, see what you can do.
Got to tell you, man, just looking at Josh in those, you know, that last drive in the final minutes, he looked like he was playing in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And the way he assesses the defense, I mean, he's really coming in. I love it. I love watching it.
It's going to be a fun 10 more years. Pam and Donna back into the room of the super chat. Thank you, Pamela. We love you. What made me feel a little better today was watching what everyone was saying about us. It wasn't the normal Bills crap to the bed and just walk and talk about the other team. Allen was just as great with Mahomes. It's true. A lot of people have changed the narrative. coming out of a loss. I had friends of other friends who are fans of other teams texting me after that football game, talking about Josh Allen. People that are in other markets, Bengal markets.
Places yeah, like I that. Had the same bunch yeah. of my buddies were like, dude, I'm so sorry about your team, but holy cow.
Right. Right. That kid is really good. Like it's, yeah. he's probably the best quarterback in the league. Like it's crazy.
What about that ascendance though? I mean, like from major disrespect so recently to
forever. Yeah. Yeah. To now all of a sudden, like he's going to be,
I'll say this. So I've been meaning to get this off my chest. Tyrann Mathieu comes out of the game.
Yep.
We have some pretty significant success with the deep ball. You know, we hadn't been going to it a lot.
Right.
During the regular season, but Tyrann Mathieu's out of the game. What kind of took so long? The protection aside from about three plays was solid. Mm-hmm. Why weren't we going a little deep? Why weren't we testing a secondary without the honey badger? That had me vexed a little bit too.
Tony Romo said it before the deep pass, the bomb to Gabe Davis. He said, I felt the Bills were being too conservative. They're being too safe.
I didn't even need Tony Romo to say it. It might have been harder for you guys to recognize, you know, sometimes when you're at the game, the disappearance of a player.
Sure.
But, you know, in TV, you get the full shot, the whole thing. And I'm like, as soon as I saw Tyrann Mathieu down, I'm like, pressure those guys. Go deep.
Yeah.
You know, Gabe Davis, Isaiah McKenzie. You know, whether it's Beasley or Diggs underneath route, pulling the safety. And that's exactly what we did. We had an underneath guy that the safety had to show enough respect to slow him down by a half step. And then they're open.
Yeah, no, I knew he was gone because when he went down, he grabbed the top of his helmet. So I thought that he was faking as though Josh hit him because he missed the tackle, that he whiffed so bad. Cause he whiffed, he totally whiffed on Josh. And I didn't, they didn't. That's the only bad thing about Kansas City. Their boards are tiny and suck, and they don't show replays. It's awful. Mm. So I just assumed that he kind of was faking, like, I'm hurt. And then all of a sudden he was gone. And then, like, the dude that was standing next to me was like, yeah, Tyrann Mathieu's out because he was, I don't know, I think he got a tweet from a friend or a text from a friend that he was out of the game. And then, obviously, watching it back today, it was his player that hit him in the head. With his kneecap, I think, or something like that. But no, that was big to your point. So, Triggs back with the super chat. We're missing speed in the defensive line. The X factor. You have heard me say it. So is Spence. When JJ Watt became available, I want a havoc wreaker. We need a havoc wreaker on that defense. I know you can't just go get a TJ or a JJ Watt. You can't go get a Joey Bosa. You know, you just can't go get that guy.
I disagree.
Although I was going to say, Melvin Ingram was available. He's the 3-4 guy, but Melvin Ingram was available. The Bills didn't even make a move for him. But
yeah, I disagree in this respect. I think we have the right people. I don't think they have the right attitude. So, I mean, you take a guy like J.J. Watt, he's got a predetermined rush before the ball snapped. He knows what he's doing. If you go back, and I've said this for weeks now, but apparently you just don't listen to me. Our guys are coming off the ball without a plan, and they're doing this shake thing as they run toward the offensive lineman. Now, whether that's a Leslie Frazier thing where they're just, you know, too much gap control or gap integrity on your rush, I am not that guy. I mean, as an offensive lineman, I'm begging you to run at me without a plan. That is like my dream.
Right.
You know, I think the guys are there, but either they're not free or they're not confident. But we need a guy that's going to make his move off the ball. That's part of what Bruce did. Bruce would come out, and he didn't care if it didn't work this time, because eventually it would work. And you don't need to have Epinesa have 5 sacks, right? 2's good. 1's good. And if the other guys are doing the same thing, you know, 1 for 4 guys is 4 sacks. That's a game-winning performance up front.
Right.
But
there's
just two. I still see Jerry Hughes do it. From time to time, but I honestly don't see the other guys doing it. You got to have a sellout plan. Even when I coach, you know, I coach offensive linemen in high school, but when I see defensive linemen do it, I'm like, what are you doing? Mm. I mean, you have no plan. Your reason for being is to get the guy behind the guy in front of you.
Mm.
And if the ball snapped and you're like, well, maybe I'll arm under, maybe I'll arm over, maybe I'll step go, maybe I'll step club. It's too late. You're done.
Right.
You just got to say, I'm doing it. And if I get beat, I get beat.
Right.
But the alternative is worse.
Yeah, for sure. By the way, there was somebody
whiny. Am I getting whiny? Do I need to go back to my podcast voice?
There's somebody in the chat, and I just deleted his message, that was upset that apparently we're not responding to all of the comments. Not super chats, the comments. We're recording a podcast and we're having a football conversation. The other shows that take all of the comments, that's what those shows do. They're people.
But we appreciate you being here. It might just be your first time, though.
Absolutely. I think he left. He said, peace out, which is fine. But please understand the format of the show. Expression. At the end of the day, our conversation and the podcast that this is gets borderline interrupted by the super chats, which we appreciate. So
yeah, we love it.
We love it, but we're not here. The script for us to respond to all the comments. So
and no admonishment to podcasts that just do the comment section.
No, that's great as well. So
yeah, we should answer the question now that he's off.
The work. The bad, the work. The ugly.
Okay, here's my work for the off season.
Yeah.
All right. Grills Mafia, here's my work. I pledge to force Jerry Ostrowski to post his barbecue pictures, because he put up a brisket yesterday and ribs. And I said, you expletive, better post that. And I never went back to look. So that's my work for the offseason. Get Jerry a little confidence.
Yeah, Jerry.
I want everybody there to at Jerry right now.
Everybody should be following Jerry. That's for sure. He's a good dude. I don't know if he's in here or not, but I know
he's got great tweets.
Joins us at times, which is fun. But the work for me, or the bad in this football game, and I guess it doesn't really matter at this point. I don't know where, so I don't know where I land, and this is where it all sums up. And I know you're already grumbling, and I apologize that I'm making you
grumble. No, you're not. I'm not grumbling. I'm thinking.
Last year, so I'm going to take you back to last year, the AFC Championship game. The Buffalo Bills on offense and defense were wildly unprepared for that football game. And obviously we know what happened before that football game. Leslie Frazier, Brian Daboll, both got interviews, and they got interviews for head coaching jobs. The Bagulas then, after the season is over, to the competition committee or the rules committee, proposed to not allow assistants or staff members to interview until after the championship games. So in that 2-week window, they wanted to push it back to the 2-week window because, well, they didn't say why, but we can all assume, infer, that it's because they felt their coordinators were wildly distracted. The NFL actually did the opposite. They backed it up 2 weeks. So they made it, you can now interview 2 weeks before the season ends, which nobody did. Literally nobody got asked for permission to interview before the season ended, which I thought was interesting. Daboll was ready. That offense was ready. Whether it was Daboll, whether it was Josh, whether it was just they were doing and being who they were, great. I just feel like that game plan for that game could have been better.
Defensively?
Defensively. I know there's a lot of people out there that want to blame the players. I've seen people blaming Lee. Blaming Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano. I've seen people blaming the defensive line. When I view the deep two cover shell, 35 yards off the line, leaving all the cornerbacks and defensive backs on islands by themselves, hoping to God that Mahomes doesn't throw an 80-yard pass, to me, that's a scheme issue.
I'm not going to disagree with you entirely. I think you have to take certain precautions when you play a team that has the weapons that they have. And, there was a certain lack of gravitas. Like you said, they wanted to wait him out. And I hope that Patrick didn't have a championship type performance, but he did.
Yeah.
And the rest of them did. And that, I don't love that gamble either. I'm on your side. I mean, I want to bring pressure. I would, it's either cut my head off or death by a thousand cuts. Right. Cut my head off.
Go head off.
Yeah. Like when, you see people staying on 16 in blackjack. I hit that every time. I'd rather lose now than lose later and go through the pain of waiting. Right. So I'm with you on that. But you can rewrite history. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not in there. We don't know if they felt like they had personnel matchup issues, so it was smarter to play it that way. Regardless, I still say go for broke.
So Peyton, and this is where the aggressive stuff, situational football, comes into play. So Peyton says, and this is a great comment, I saw an advanced metric that I think was revealing. Mahomes' average depth of target, 5.2 yards. Josh was 8.1. I think the defense actually did okay. I agree with this statement. The caveat for me was inside of 2 minutes. That both of those offenses
hit
the gas pedal to the floor. Josh beat their defense. Mahomes basically just took advantage of what the Bills were doing against him. Does that play? Do you understand what I'm saying when I say that? So Gabe Davis.
You think their defense was in better position and Josh beat them?
Or the receivers beat them.
Whereas Patrick didn't have to do anything difficult.
Threw a 15-yard crossing pattern to Tyreek Hill, who turns it into a 68-yard touchdown run. Because they're playing way too deep and their corners are single covered.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. But without knowing why, it's hard for me to look back and say, it was the wrong game plan. It's not my game plan.
Sure,
it's his.
Sure.
I think he's going to get a head coaching job. I think he's I think he's got a great demeanor.
He deserves one. I would say that. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think they're talking about his age, which is ageism, which is, I have a problem with. So
how old is he?
He's older. I'm not exactly sure of his age. I could Google it. But I mean, when you look at Bill Belichick, ain't exactly young, and he's still coaching. Andy Reid isn't exactly young. I mean, there's a lot
of Marv Levy was like 30.
Pete Carroll's in his 80s. I think isn't he an octogenarian now? I think he's in his 80s.
His son is the offensive line coach here at Arizona.
Yeah, so Leslie Frazier to start as a head coach. Eric Lambert says he's 62. So at 62, it's like, do you
62?
Want to
62?
But at 10 years, people are thinking like, well, if he's going to be a head coach for 10 years, do you want a guy that's 72?
Yes, he's fine.
But, so other people saying 60, so early 60s. But, but overall, after we're done with this show, I'm going to be back into my feels. I will be honest, John, it has helped me to talk about it. So, go ahead.
So, you talked about the work, right? So yes. I don't want to talk about the game planning, right? Because games are so far off right now. I just want to see decisive moves made with respect to, who on the free agent list that we're keeping or letting go. I want to see, I want to see exit interviews. Not that we'll see them, but I think coaches got to sit down with each player in their group and have a talk.
The list. So Star Latulale is going to be here next year because I think he's a $20 million, $18 million cap hit. So he's going to be here. Otherwise, they lose a crap ton of money. So it's better to have the player and lose the money versus.
I'm okay with that. I think Star's got life in him. I think when he was healthy, he played well.
Yeah,
I got no issues with that.
I'm just giving you stuff. So Harrison Phillips, he's a restricted free agent. Jerry Hughes is long in the tooth, and I think his contract is up. My guess is he probably won't be back.
I agree.
I said at the end of last season.
Addison's
up as well. Vernon Butler is up, which Vernon Butler can go. I said at the end of last season that the Bills love to do this luxury thing, which is spend all of this money on the defensive line. They're the highest paid defensive line in football, and that includes defensive lines with Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh and Fletcher Cox and these guys that are like absolute machine, like world record or wreckers, havoc wreakers, most expensive defensive line in football. I said at the end of last season that that's a luxury they cannot afford any longer because it didn't work. We spend all this money on the defensive line. We rotate all these guys at 48%. We get no productivity out of them. They ran it back. They did it again this year. And in my opinion, it wasn't similar results. And I guess people could say, but they were the number one defense. But were they the number one defense when the Kansas City Chiefs, when you played them?
No. You're right. I mean, you have a point, but we're in this bed right now. So what's the solution?
Yeah. That's the question kind of to you. I think people were asking that earlier. What do you see? What does this defensive line need to do to get it productive? So I said Havoc Reeker, whether it's at linebacker. Tremaine Edmonds is another one. Are they going to re-extend him? They let him play out his fifth year and let him go.
Let's talk about Tremaine Edmonds. I really don't know how to solve the D-line salary issue, what piece is missing. But, before I go on, let's just say Ed Oliver, he proved his worth, I think. I like him. I think he'll continue to improve. Tremaine Edmonds, I don't know what you do, not because I don't love the guy, I'm concerned about you got a, what is it, a tender or extend? The problem is if you don't, you got Milano and Medakevich, and where are you? You don't have the guy. So you're shopping for a guy, right? So who's available? That's my concern. So
there's always somebody available, right? I mean, there's always, whether it's at the beginning or in the middle of the season. So a team,
there's a supply chain issue, you know, some of the shelves are bare.
It's true.
We got a super chat.
I love Pamela. Go ahead.
We do love Pamela. We have greatness ahead of us. Josh reached elite status. The whole team is in sync. We only get better. Go Bills. You know what, Pam? I got to be honest with you. I mean, I get upset about the loss. It's more of a heartbreak, like the way you're feeling. But inside of me, you know, I have that same we can do it attitude. And I think everybody should get 24 hours to lose their minds. And I've read some pretty ridiculous stuff on Twitter. I've been getting some some direct messages that were gigglesome.
Yeah.
But please bring them on. I respond to everybody. So, I agree. I think we only get better. I think we have a commander in chief firing rockets.
I would kindly, respectfully disagree.
Pollyanna, Joe.
I have concern. Mm-hmm. The concern that I have is, you know, we know that Josh Allen's fifth year, which is next year, is still part of his rookie contract. After that, then obviously his new contract kicks in, which it escalates slowly but somewhat quickly. So the window is closing. The bigger problem is the cap is still low due to COVID. Mm-hmm. It's going to go up, not as much this year as next year. So this year it's going to go up, and then next year it's going to go crazy again because the new contracts and whatnot. Stephon Diggs is going to need more money, and Stephon Diggs deserves more money. He's the best number one wide receiver we have had since Eric Moulds, hands down, to the point that the Bills had a number one wide receiver drop for so long that they didn't even know what a number one wide receiver was until Diggs got back, until Diggs got here. And then it was like, oh, that's what a number one wide receiver looks like. There's a lot of guys that deserve and are going to command some money.
So do you think we got to address, what are the main issues? What do you think of the highest draft priorities right now? Linebacker and corner?
I don't think it's corner. I think with Trey, and I think Dane Jackson and Levi inside of the scheme is serviceable as long as Hyde and Poyer are back there. Mm-hmm. I think it's D-line, and I hate to say it because I'm a Tremaine Edmonds fan. I love Tremaine. I don't need Tremaine Edmonds to be, we've had fun with it, Brian Urlacher or pick, you know, Luke Kuechly. I need Tremaine Edmonds to be Fred Warner from the 49ers, who's just a solid, serviceable, in on every play, makes impact plays, knocks the ball out. Tremaine will just vanish for quarters at a time. And I love him. I think he's got all the capabilities. He's still young. I know that. I need him. And maybe it is somebody in the defensive line in front of him that's missing. Maybe if there was somebody in the defensive line that was there, that's not there, whether it's an end. And maybe Rousseau will grow into the guy that we want, or Basham will grow into that havoc wreaker guy that coordinators have to plan for. I just feel like there's still nobody on that in that front seven that maybe save Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver might be the only one where coordinators are like, we got to stop that guy. If we don't stop that guy, we're in for a really long day. And I think, and you can talk about this, I think there's something to be said. I think you're playing from behind automatically when you have the conversation. Even if you had Bruce Smith in his prime on this defensive line, offensive coordinators are literally going to say, we got to stop that guy. We got to worry about him, or he's going to wreck his day. Luckily, he's only going to play half the snaps, 48%. Could you imagine Bruce Smith playing 48% of the snaps?
Yeah, look, I'm not going to fight you on that. I like the rotational thing that they do. I just think going back again, you know, whether Bruce played 48 or 86% of the snaps, the point was there was a design to what he was going to do at every snap. That's sure. The lack. Now, there's no doubt that a little bigger performance from a three technique or a one technique is going to make Edmonds a better player. And I think that's the rub. I'm just concerned. I mean, I'd have to see who's available to replace him. He is very young, though. I guess, which is a nice thing. I don't know, man. Joe, look, this is like a circular conversation.
Well, the question is this. The question is, would you rather have 9 blue chippers playing 46% or Bruce Smith and Jeff Wright? A guy that's going to, like, destroy Boomer Esiason. Like, he's going to get to him more times than not. He's going to get to him.
I guess the difference is, do you think that a couple of those guys can exhibit some of the characteristics of Bruce Smith, and why aren't they? So yeah. Groot's young. I think that there's a skill set there. I still think he has to learn to play with that body at this level. It's different than playing against college tackles.
Yeah.
He's got to learn more leverage and power. I think Basham can be a guy who plays across the whole defensive line. I think they need to cut him loose. Efe Obada, I don't know. I don't think he ends up back here. I mean, I do like him, but I don't see that they gave him enough chance to do anything.
For sure.
My bigger concern is Epinesa. You know, where is he?
Vanished.
Where are you? Where are you, kid? You look so lean. You know, for being that lean, this is what I'm saying. The thing that made Derek Thomas such a nightmare wasn't that he was 290 pounds. It was that he was fast, and he took two steps, and he knew what he was going to do to you.
Right.
And we're just still coming off the line doing this shake thing. Go back and watch. The heads are shaking.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it. And I love all the guys. I mean, I hope everybody doesn't understand. I don't have anything against Epinesa.
Nor do I.
I mean, just set those guys loose. Tackles hate that.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're doing that enough. Go ahead.
Eric, I was just going to clarify. I was not at all saying Fred Warner's serviceable. And if that came out of my mouth, I apologize. Fred Warner is a great linebacker. What I'm saying is this: I don't need Tremaine to be elite. So I don't need people at this point in Tremaine's career.
We knew what you meant. Fred's just kicking you in the gonads.
No, Eric is. But Fred is a great linebacker
that's always kicking you in the Eric Warner.
He's always there. I don't need people to be talking about Tremaine like this kid's going to the Hall of Fame in year four. That's not what I need from Tremaine. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
And it didn't come out that way.
Cool.
Just making sure. Eric, thanks for making clarity, because sometimes Joe gets ahead of himself.
I need to dial him back.
One more
super chat, and then we're going to get out of here because we're running long. Triggs with another one says, Edmonds was an outside linebacker at Virginia Tech. The Bills moved him to middle linebacker. So I have a rub with this, and you can speak to it. You played football. The Bills don't have a middle linebacker. They don't.
Nobody does, though. I shouldn't say that. Go ahead.
We run a 4-2 nickel. So Milano and Edmonds play the exact same position. They're basically shade linebackers who get to do whatever they want to do. Edmonds just calls the defensive plays. That's the difference. He is not a middle linebacker. They have run some heavy 4-3 packages after the Colts game this year. So there were some games where after they got their faces bashed in by Jonathan Taylor, where they did go to a traditional 4-3, to which Edmonds did play the middle. But by and large, 95% of the time, he is not a middle linebacker. Do you want to just back me up on that?
No, you're right. I think what you're missing, though, is what if we do go to a 3-3, and then he does become that guy that's the outside linebacker, then he's in space. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I don't think that throughout the entire season we've put him in great positions to, I guess, make huge plays. He's been kind of a ground cover kind of guy.
You
know, he spends a lot of time in that middle zone area, and it's hard to really assess a lot of that. You see some outside linebackers who are playing in the flat, and it's a little bit more obvious, I guess. You know, you say he disappears for quarters. I have been trying to keep an eye on him. He does come up on the run pretty well recently. He has in the past 5-6 games. But again, going back to what I think, they just need to make decisions and not be afraid to let people go, and, you know, not be afraid to say we're re-signing this guy and here's why, and just be very clear about it. I think that just gives everybody more confidence.
I love this question from Tom Whitmarsh. Thank you, Tom. He says, so is this the last off-tackle show? Well, I hope not.
You mean for the season or forever?
It's definitely not forever, nor is it necessarily for the season. So I would imagine that. So for everybody that's tuned in and paying attention, both live and in podcast form, I would imagine we can come back next week and probably do somewhat of a season wrap up type show. And then neither John nor I are really draft geeks. So I would probably tell you that we're probably going to take a little bit of time off, and then we'll come back around the draft time, around free agency time, just to kind of chime in on what the Bills are doing. Would you agree with that, John? We haven't even talked about it.
Yeah, look, I miss everybody in the chat and on Twitter. You know, it's going to calm down quite a bit. So I'm not a draft geek. For me, I don't even want to look at the draft until, you know, we start making some decisions on the guys that are questionable, or, you know, where are we going to sign them? Are we going to let them go? Whatever. So to me, it's like this next 2 to 4 weeks is just kind of limbo.
Sure. And
we'll definitely do. Once we see some decisions, Joe, if you're up for it, Tom, we'll do a show based on who's been released and who's been signed, and then we'll do a show on the draft.
He has an idea for a show, and maybe this is something we can talk about at some point.
Extra pint idea.
So a show basically.
Hey, Tom, we could use another sponsor along with Q42. So
he's talking about, I think what he said on Twitter was just that you would go through and talk about a different, maybe IPA weekly. So there'd be a breakdown of the segment somewhere. Geez.
All right, we could do one of those. I don't know what kind of we'll have to do it with guests, yeah. Brewers and things like that. You know, I was with the Albuquerque Bills backers because I was working in Albuquerque. I got to throw a shout out to them. And it was a scramble. I just reached out like, hey, are there Bills backers here? And about 9 people showed up, 10. They were great people. One of the guys I met's a brewer, so we could have him on.
That would be sweet.
Albuquerque's a cool town. They got a great setup for Bills Mafia. If you guys are in Albuquerque, don't feel alone. Go and catch a game with them. It's a pretty cool setup.
And you obviously have somewhat of a connection at Resurgence here in Buffalo. So there's a lot of breweries in Buffalo.
Oh, yeah, man. Great beer. I love the location. Great people and damn good food.
Well, we have gone extra time, so we are at overtime as well.
Don't want to let it go, man.
I'm telling you, dude. I feel a little better talking about it. So I might do an overreaction pod at some point in this week. I was going to do one, like I said, before the show at 8:00, and I just couldn't bring myself to it. I couldn't get anything down notes wise that I wanted to say, just because there was, all in my feelings. But we'll see if I can get it out at some point. And if I can, I'll put some notification out there. But do you have any last words before next week's show? So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have anything else other than, you know, keep the faith and keep the interest and be nice to your mom.
Yeah, be nice to your mom. For those of you that are not being nice to your mom, John's being his words
you're
to you
are. You're being admonished right now.
Be nice to your mom.
Go Bills, by the way.
Fair advice. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been tuned into the Off Tackle with John Fina show, brought to you by Q42 on the Buffalo Rumblings multicast and vidcast network. I'm the host of the show, Joe Miller. Find me on Twitter, Joe Miller Wired. That over there is my guy, John Fina. You can find him on Twitter at John Fina. Dude, this has been a great year. This has been a lot of fun, and I'm sad to see it go, but I'm excited. Uh-oh. I don't know what's happening to your camera.
Goodbye,
he's trying to close it, but I appreciate it. You got to give me a go, Bill, so you can't go yet, but I'm excited for this football team and Josh Allen and what's to come. As heartbreaking as this is, we'll get over it, and we'll come back next year. But for Joe Miller, for John Fina, love you guys as always. Go Bills!
Hey, heartbreaker, but... Go Bills, baby. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.